welcome to Mailbox, the program that airs your views and comments concerning Radio Prague's broadcasts and life in the Czech Republic in general. Last Sunday's letter from Prague by Jan Wellinger about the influx of British stag and hen parties in Prague has raised quite a response among our listeners. Thomas Spencer, who lives in Germany, had this to say.
I just read your article and would like to say thank you. Thank you for being honest and objective about this disgusting phenomenon. I am an American married to a Czech and living abroad with my family in Germany. 10 years we loved Prague and couldn't get enough of it, but now we don't go there anymore. We'd rather go elsewhere where we aren't confronted with loud, drunk and even threatening English partiers who know no sense of human decency or tastefulness once they touch down at Ruzyně.
And Mr. Spencer continues.
When will someone decide to confront the situation as it should be instead of playing ostrich for the sake of bringing in the English tourist money? Do the leaders of Prague enjoy having their city ranked just behind Sexland, Thailand, in the category of English tourists needing consular assistance? Didn't it ever occur to anyone that these types of tourists drive away the more desirable long-term tourists?
Barbara Ziemba is writing on the same topic from Chicago.
In response to your article, I'd like to say that it would be helpful if apartments and hotels would stop advertising and renting to these hen and stag groups. Without places to stay, maybe they will stay away. On my last trip to Prague, I stayed in an apartment on Mostecka, and although they did not rent to these parties, we spent several sleepless nights with them parading around the streets outside our windows. I'm planning a trip to Prague in the fall, and I cannot tell you the number of apartments I've had to pass up because they advertised renting to the groups. Everything today is about making money, and they do not care at whose cost it may come. Prague is a beautiful city. Don't let it fall to the rabble.
Let me just add that not all hotels and restaurants in Prague accept these guests. You can see signs on the doors of pubs saying stag parties not welcome. If these visitors to Prague are a nuisance to other tourists, imagine what it's like for those who live in the city all year round, such as Frank Miata.
It has been reported in the press that the mob brings with it 20 billion crowns per annum. It was not reported if that sum included prostitution earnings and drug-related purchases. Not likely. The costs to the city for police enforcement, medical treatment for injuries sustained by or caused by these mobs have not been announced with the same fanfare. If one lives in the city for any extended period of time, one stays off the streets after 10 o'clock at night, the time around which the drunks and boors seem to liberate the city from its civilized citizens.
Change of subject now. Trevor Aysen listens to Radio Prague in New Zealand. He heard our story on the 20th anniversary of the Škoda Favorit and wanted to make a comment.
While I acknowledge that post-1968 Škoda's plans to compete with top Euro manufacturers were halted, I didn't like the infamous Škoda 120 remark. Okay, the Favorit might have been a more modern design, but it's bulky and boxy-looking. I find the late model 120s and 130s, and particularly the 135 Coupe, to be better looking than the Favorit. And also, at least the 120, 130 were Czech designed. They also have more character than the Favorit. Also, the sound of the Favorit in the item, it is rare to hear a Favorit without the accompanying timing chain rattle. I suggest that you do an item on the numbers of Škoda 120s and 130s still left on the road, of which there are quite a lot. My wife's cousin Jaromir is a farmer. He has a 130 and he's delighted with it, can pull a ton behind it, and it goes well. I know, because I've driven it. I'm from New Zealand, and Škoda 100s were quite common in the 1970s and 80s because they were cheap. But there are no Favorites there.
And finally, an email regarding a July story on a new government scheme aiming to teach school children how to manage debt. Linda Mary Haupen writes,
I just read about the programme the Education Ministry is planning to teach youngsters how to handle their finances correctly, including credit cards, loans and the like. Bravo! Here in the US, credit cards and easy money have targeted a good portion of the poor, many of whom had no idea what they were getting into. The politicians then wonder why there is so much debt. If someone learns a valuable lesson at a young age, they do not have to regret stupid decisions when they are old. I chalk it up to good Czech common sense whenever I make a good decision about anything. Thanks to this article, now I see why I congratulate the Czech for this virtue.
Thanks for all those comments and reception reports you have been sending us, as well as your answers to our monthly competition question. Now it's time to repeat it for you. It's short and simple. This month, we would like you to tell us who the first official world chess champion was. As usual, we await your answers at english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague by the end of August. Until next week, bye-bye.